I just had a thought going back to what Brother Kevin was saying. It was on my heart, so I just like to share it. Saying about how Ruth did everything Naomi said, and it's sort of like that between us and the Lord. She did exactly what Naomi said, and for us, we have to do exactly what the Lord says in the Bible for us to do. As we read through the Bible and we read stories, one thing we notice about the stories is that the Lord is God is a God of detail. Especially we see an example with Moses. He asks him to talk to the rock exactly, but Moses disobeys him and he hits it. So I was just sharing that we have to do exactly what the Lord wants us to do. No compromises. It's His plan. We are His, so we have to obey Him exactly.
I just want to ask a question. I was thinking, I had similar thoughts and spoke to my wife just a couple of weeks ago as I worked on the outline. And I looked at this and the expression that was in my mind was, this is pie in the sky. Karen says, well, young people are going to laugh at you. They don't know what that means. And I think she changed it a little bit. But the reality of it is, am I willing today as a young man or a young woman to put my life in the hands of the one who Ruth put her life in? Do you know a bad part of this story? What's the bad part of the story that you've read? I don't know any. And I can say, I'm not telling you there'll never be exercises in your life. But, you know, we had it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God in His righteousness. Do you know what? When we put the Lord first, we will always find that He will come back in this way. Look at what in verse 10 and 11. I want to share two words with you that came from Boaz to Ruth. The first one is, blessed be thou of the Lord. Do you want the Lord's blessing on your life? This is the way it comes. There aren't shortcuts. There aren't other things. It's to have a living, loving relationship with Him. And Boaz could say to Ruth, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. And the second one was, verse 11, fear not. Isn't that wonderful? Ruth, why did he say that to her? I think there's only one reason. I believe that he saw that there might have been that element of fear that this dear woman had. Remember, she was following the scripture. This was God's ordained way of providing someone for her husband that had died to raise up seed. This was God's way, and she was following the word of God. And Boaz says to her, Ruth, fear not. Well, he says the same to you and I today. He says, just give me, what is it in the Proverbs? Give me thine heart, my son. So it doesn't have to be something that's way out here. This is what we would want to leave with, that this can be this way in my life.
Yeah, and just a thought to follow that, but even as we go back, when Ruth says at the end of verse 9, for thou art a near kinsman, she wasn't being aggressive in trying to tell Boaz now what his job was, right? She is simply saying to Boaz, thou art a near kinsman. This is the word of the Lord that she had come to realize. And in realizing that he was a kinsman, she was in that submitting herself to him as the fact that he had a right over her. And she was being submissive to him in that right and giving her all to him, whatever was before her.
That right of redemption, as we know in Leviticus, was left for the one that was nearest relation to the person to be redeemed. And we have to ask ourselves, is the Lord Jesus the one that we have our closest relationship with? Is that the one that we're focused on with our relationship?
I just want to say really quickly something that Joe said. He said, God is a God of detail. And Naomi's instructions were from the Word of God. And you see, nothing is left to Ruth's imagination. She doesn't have to, there's nothing left that she has to do. It's all given to her what she has to do. And it's the same with us. All the instructions we need are right here. And Kevin said before about if she chose to go about it her own way, how disastrous that could end up being. And it's the same with us. We need to, if things are going to work out, we need to be looking to the Lord for advice and be in His Word.
No, I just had the thought, and I'm not really sure if it's right, but please feel free to let me know. I was just looking at midnight. There was a few stories where things happened at midnight, and normally, as it was already mentioned, midnight is normally a time of fear, especially at that time, no electricity, no light. So this is a time where all of us are vulnerable for attacks from the outside, because you can't see it coming. And this was the only time you can actually bow down at the feet of the Lord is when you realize where you are. You realize that the world around you is dark and there's no other way but Him. And I see that's what she did. She had to be on her own. She couldn't get the help of Naomi on this one. She had to go through her battle on her own. And the only one who could have helped her to redeem her was Boaz. And that's what she did. That's why she had to be there on her own. The thing that struck me was verse 9 when she was basically asked him to marry her, I guess. But that's the only way you're going to get saved is not by waiting for a prayer from a family member or by waiting on something to happen. You're going to ask the Lord and take the step, and He'll redeem you from there.
And really, you could see with Boaz, having subjected herself to his lordship, and that is very important. She called herself a handmaid. That means, as the expression was given, the explanation, she came under his hand. He is the one who is in control. See, she subjected herself. It's not her own will anymore, what she wanted. Because he said that in verse 11 to her, as we need to move on. I'm sorry, in verse 10. That you did not go after young men, rich or old. This is the natural way about doing things. The natural way is you go after a young man. Speaking of Ruth now, or vice versa, if a man, he goes after young women. And he's saying poor or rich. I mean, who will go after somebody who's poor? Yeah, there is something called the sympathetic love. You go to somebody, well, I just feel sorry for him, so that's it. Or it's a natural way of doing things. Or ambition, where, well, he's very wealthy, or he's very handsome, or he's very smart or something, so I will go after him this way. It's a natural desire. Ruth was in complete subjection to the lordship of Christ. She followed the word of God. Not what naturally is supposed to take place. Because, well, naturally speaking, I have to go this way. Or I have to go that way. There is no natural anything anymore. It's obeying even our parents in the Lord. It is looking for a wife or a husband in the Lord. It is going for a job, praying about it. It is schooling, it's praying about it. It's everything under the subjection and under the lordship of Christ. So she did not follow natural desire or natural ties or natural anything. She followed the instruction that was given to her from the word of God, and she followed the lordship, or she obeyed the lordship of Christ.
Just quickly wanted to mention that we've been talking a lot about Ruth and that she followed and acted in the light of the word of God based on what Naomi had told her. But we know for a fact from just looking at some of these verses that Boaz also knew the word of God. He knew that the word of God was looking for the nearest kinsman, and knew that what the word of God said in terms of the process that would need to be followed in order for this to all work out. And the other thing is that he knew what kind of a woman she was. We've been talking, it was mentioned last night, and we've been mentioning it throughout even some of our devotions this week in the morning, that this whole city in verse 11 knew what kind of a woman she was. And we've been mentioning Timothy as an example, and here we have a sister as an example, where the whole city knew what kind of her demeanor, how she characterized herself, how she conducted herself, what she wore, how she acted, how she spoke. All of these things really concluded with the fact that she was a virtuous woman, and we mentioned that a little bit earlier. Chuck mentioned early in the week, Proverbs 31. So the fact that they were both following and acting and moving in the light of the word of God, and then that's when the blessing comes. You said earlier, Stephen, that this is not a pie in the sky scenario. This is the word of God. This is how God blesses those that follow and move and act according to His word. So we need to, when we do the same, He's able to bless as well. But it's not just something that's unrealistic. It's very real, and it could be real in our lives as well. But when we both move according to the word of God, it wasn't just one side; they both did it.